This is Jody Apple.
We've noted this, but we repeat it again. On January 18, 1982, four planes, part of the Air Force flying team, the Thunderbirds, crashed at Indian Springs Auxiliary Air Base in Nevada. All four planes crashed at the same time, killing all four pilots. What caused that crash? Technically, the investigation found that there was insufficient back pressure on the control stick of Thunderbird No. 1, the lead plane, during their exercises. Because of the intricate nature of their flying pattern, the mechanical failure in the lead plane caused it and the three other planes flying in formation with it to crash. Our study this week focuses on the principles found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, which reads as follows, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." God has implemented a system of checks and balances and safeguards to make sure that we do not follow others so closely that we crash, spiritually speaking. Accordingly, this week we've studied the principles and patterns in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, follow the leader. We introduced that on Sunday. We looked at the God to Christ pattern on Monday, the Christ to Apostles pattern on Tuesday, the Paul to Timothy pattern on Wednesday, the Timothy to faithful men pattern on Thursday, and today, the last day, Friday, we look at the faithful men to others pattern. Let's consider this. In the first four generations, we saw this. God taught Christ. Christ taught the apostles. The apostles taught the next generation of disciples or students, and that next generation, Timothy, for example, taught faithful men. The fifth principle is this. Those faithful men were to continue to teach what they were taught to the next generation. What did they teach? They taught, if they did what the first generations did, only what originated with God. How do we know that? That's the premise stated at the end of 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, that says, "Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." What Timothy learned from Paul, he taught to faithful men. But he not only taught them what to believe and practice, he also taught them what they were, in turn, to pass on to the next generation of disciples. In our final program this week, we will study that fifth generation of teaching, from faithful men to others also. There's a pattern that's intended there. God intended for each generation of teachers and students to teach what he taught Christ. Nothing should change that. If we cannot find what we believe and what we practice today reflected in the teaching of those first generations of teachers or students, then we might crash, spiritually speaking. Ideally, the fifth generation teaching, from faithful men to others also, would be identical to the previous four. But what if it's not? In today's study, rather than repeating what we've noticed in the first four generations of teaching, let's investigate what happens when those taught not only come to believe something contrary to what they were first taught, but pass that contrary teaching along to others. In order to do so, let's think about the Galatians. The Galatians. The teaching changed and the crash followed. What happens when a generation that's supposed to pass along the same teaching that they received changes it? And instead of passing along the pure doctrine that they received, they pass along an imperfect doctrine. That's what we witness when we read the Galatian epistle. Let's examine together the first 12 verses of that letter. It reads as follows. Paul, an apostle, not from man nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who were with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you, and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so now I say again, If anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Here are some key thoughts and principles to note from this passage. First, Paul emphasized his apostleship. He did so not to promote himself, but to promote and to protect his teaching. He defended his apostleship to the Corinthians to safeguard doctrine, not his reputation. He does the same thing here in chapter 1, verse 1. He continued to emphasize his role as an apostle, noting this, that he became an apostle not due to man, but directly through Christ and God. The Christ who rose from the grave made Paul an apostle. Again, chapter 1, verse 1. As a divinely appointed apostle, whose apostleship was grounded in the resurrected Messiah, Paul's message needed to be heard and followed. Paul affirms the same message here when, in Romans 1:1, he says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Christ gave himself for our sins. He died to deliver us from this evil age, Paul notes, and this Messiah is to be glorified forever, 1:3 of Galatians. In verse 6, Paul gets to the heart of the problem that the Galatians experienced. He marvels that the Galatian Christians have moved away so quickly from the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Again, 1:6. Consider the significance of this statement. What God revealed to Christ, Christ revealed to the apostles. Christ revealed the same message to the next generation of disciples. Paul, an apostle, a fact that he emphasizes from the beginning of this epistle, taught the Galatians that gospel. The gospel Paul taught was a gospel he received through the revelation of Christ. He says that repeatedly, but especially in chapter 1, verse 12. His opening remarks accentuated his apostleship to prove that his message, the gospel, was God's through Christ and not his own. Somehow, between the time that Paul taught the gospel to the Galatians and the time that he wrote this letter to the Galatians, the gospel was changed. He was amazed at how quickly that had happened, 1:6. He did not change the gospel, verses 6 through 12. He did not receive a new version of the gospel from the Christ, chapter 1, verse 12. Nor did Christ reveal a new message from his heavenly Father. His message was consistent, Hebrews 1, verse 1. Galatian Christians came under the influence of Judaizing teachers who added to the gospel. The 5th and 6th chapters of Galatians tell us that they added the Old Testament practice of circumcision. That starts in Galatians 5, verse 2, and goes throughout the 5th and into the 6th chapters. What they added changed the gospel, according to chapter 1, verse 6 and following. What they added corrupted or perverted the gospel, chapter 1, verse 7. What they add weakened the gospel, chapter 3, verse 1 and following. This new gospel, while still called gospel, was different, according to chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Paul plainly calls it a different gospel. Paul states that it is not another gospel. Paul states that the gospel had been perverted. Paul stated that even if we, that is, Paul as an apostle, or even an angel from heaven, preached anything other than what they had first preached, they would be accursed. He repeated that statement for emphasis, verses 6 through 9. Paul clearly stated that the Galatian Christians turned away from the first gospel they received in 1:6. He repeats that when he says, if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you in verse 8. What is Paul saying? Paul declared that the true gospel that he taught to the Galatians was the one they needed to stick with. It was the gospel that Christ wanted them to know. What they claimed to know now was different. The teaching process was interrupted. And when this happens, God calls attention to it. Paul says that the Galatians were turning away from the grace of Christ. That language can mean that they just moved from one place to another. It can also mean that a change in state or a change in condition has occurred. But it can also mean to have a change of mind in allegiance. Change one's mind, turn away, desert. Note that last word in this definition, desert. In ancient literature, the term was used as it refers to, for example, Dionysius, who is called the turncoat, who left the Stoics and adopted Epicureanism. Galatian Christians deserted the gospel, and they adopted a new, weakened gospel. Paul's proclamation of the gospel was not to please the Galatians, nor to please any man, but rather only to please the Christ. Chapter 1, verse 10. He closes this section by repeating that the gospel he received did not come from any man. Chapter 1, verse 11. The message Paul taught came solely through the revelation of the Christ. Chapter 1, verse 12. Rather than changing the gospel, Paul was changed by that gospel. He recounts his conversion in chapter 1, verses 13 and following, and teaches just that principle. Part of his change from being a Jew to becoming a Christian was a commitment never to change the gospel that changed him, but rather always to be changed by that changeless gospel. What happens when someone changes the gospel? If that change occurs in the context of the New Testament era, and if it's part of what occurs during the time when the Bible was being recorded, we should not be surprised that God calls attention to that error and that change. He doesn't just call attention to it. He repudiates the change, and he seeks to correct it. What have we learned? If what we believe and practice is part of a changed gospel, a gospel that doesn't owe its origin to God, a gospel that's not part of what God revealed to Christ or what Christ revealed to the apostles or what the apostles taught the next generation, a gospel that's not part of what faithful men were supposed to proclaim to the next generation, then it's a different gospel, a changed gospel, a gospel that has lost its power to save. If we can tell what was taught at each stage of the process from God to others also, then we can compare what we believe and practice to the original teachings to determine whether or not we are true to that gospel. If not, then we risk spiritual crashes.